Good afternoon. We'll have statements by the Secretary General and the Prime Minister, and then we'll have time for one or two questions. Secretary General.
Prime Minister Karins, Derek Stianis, welcome. It's great to see you here at the NATO headquarters, and thank you for your leadership and your personal commitment to NATO, to our transatlantic bond. And thank you for a very good and productive meeting. Latvia is a highly valued NATO ally. You contribute to our maritime operations and missions in Kosovo and Iraq. You lead by example, already spending more than 2% of GDP on defence and committing to 2.5% for defence from 2025. And you host our Canadian-led battle group, which I visited in Adasi last year, with the Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau and the Spanish Prime Minister Sanchez, together with you, NATO solidarity in action. Latvia also provides substantial political and military support to Ukraine, and we are extremely grateful for the strong support that you are providing, including through NATO's comprehensive assistance package and by training thousands of Ukrainian soldiers in Latvia together with Canada. NATO can count on Latvia, and Latvia can count on NATO. Allied jets keep your skies safe. NATO has increased our presence from the Baltic to the Black Sea. And Finland's and soon Sweden's membership are a game changer for Baltic-Nordic security. Today, we discussed President Putin's brutal war of aggression against Ukraine. NATO allies have provided unprecedented support to Ukraine since the start of Russia's illegal war, and we will send a strong signal of support to Ukraine at the Vilnius summit. Ukraine has demonstrated its ability to retake territory, and I'm confident that they have the capabilities they need to retake more land. I welcome the significant announcements by allies to provide cruise missiles and train Ukrainian pilots to use Western fighter jets. It is vital that we step up and sustain our support to ensure Ukraine prevails as a free and sovereign nation. In Vilnius, we will also continue to strengthen our own deterrence and defence with new regional defence plans, a new force model, and strengthened command structure. And I expect we will agree an ambitious new defence investment pledge in Vilnius with 2% of GDP as a floor, not a ceiling. So, Prime Minister, thank you again. I look forward to continuing working with you. Please, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Jens. As always, it's a pleasure to meet with you. And I want to say thank you very much for a very interesting and fruitful discussion. Putin and Russia have accomplished through their war, unjustified, brutal war in Ukraine, which some years ago maybe no one would have expected, I think least of all President Putin. And that is he has reinvigorated NATO, giving the alliance a new sense of purpose and a very tangible unity, which maybe 3 years ago some thought was lacking. Putin has reinvigorated NATO. Of course, the war in Ukraine shows that Russia is no longer simply a theoretical threat to European peace and security, but a very real threat to peace and security. And I can say that as we're looking forward to the Vilnius summit, you could say that the alliance is stronger than it has been in very many, many years. First of all, we're growing. Finland is already part of the alliance, and we're very much looking forward to Sweden coming, joining the alliance and becoming the 32nd member state, which strengthens the alliance as a whole, but especially strengthens peace and security in the northern part of Europe, effectively making the Baltic Sea an inland NATO sea. But it does not mean that it stops there. We have to continue strengthening our alliance. And in looking also towards Vilnius and the decisions we need to make there. We need to ensure that the momentum, which was also especially kicked and moved further along in Madrid, continues, and that NATO's forward defense capabilities in the entire eastern flank is fleshed out and made real, because deterrence begins and works when the potential adversary understands that not only you could do something about it, but that you will be able to do something about it. So it means military personnel, it means equipment, it also means clear command structures that would be able to act in any emergency. Similarly, as a fire brigade knows how to react when a building is burning, NATO has to make sure that we not only know how, but we have all of the tools needed to take care of any potential emergency, which, of course, is what secures our collective security. It's also very important that we continue to send a very strong signal to Ukraine that we will continue to support Ukraine as long as it takes until they ultimately win in their war against the completely unjustified aggression that Russia is waging against a sovereign member. Ultimately, it seems extremely clear that at the end of the war, for peace and security in Europe to be real, Ukraine needs to be a NATO member state. Because if Ukraine wins the war, the territory is liberated of the Russian occupiers, and Ukraine is then not a NATO member state. It's just a question of time until Russia rearms, regroups, and could just as well start the whole thing over again. So to have that lasting peace, we will need Ukraine, independent, free, and liberated Ukraine, as part of the NATO alliance, and this is something that we have to work for very much. Regarding my own country's investment into our own defense and security and supporting Ukraine, we have supported Ukraine more than 1% of our GDP militarily. When we add on all of the non-military aid and aid coming from civil society, it's considerably above 1% of our GDP. And we are investing and will continue to invest in our own defense, making us a more capable NATO partner, a NATO member state. So our first goal in 2 years' time is to reach 2.5%. In 2027, we're planning on going on 3%. We are reintroducing conscription, so we'll be increasing the number of trained military personnel in Latvia, and importantly also equipped, which will create a capable standing reserve. And we are in the process of acquiring three new defense capabilities: coastal defense, rocket artillery, and medium-range air defense, together with our northern friends, the Estonians. So we will continue to invest in our defense. We will continue to invest in assistance to Ukraine, and we will continue to work, Jens, with you and with all of our NATO partners to make Europe more secure.
Thank you. We have time for a couple of questions. Politico.
Thank you very much. I have two questions. First of all, for the Secretary General, we've heard from several NATO allies that they have agreed to train Ukrainians in flying F-16s. But do you think that allies should speed up and make the actual decision to deliver F-16s to Ukraine soon? And for the Prime Minister, are you concerned that continued delays to Sweden's accession to the alliance could negatively impact the cohesion of NATO's defense planning in the north? Is that something that worries you? Thank you.
First of all, on the training of the Ukrainian pilots, I think it demonstrates actually that over the last months we have really made important steps in strengthening and stepping up our support, because over the last months we have delivered a lot of heavy armor, not least the modern battle tanks, the Leopards, the Abrahams, and the Challengers. Then the last weeks we have seen how how the United Kingdom are delivering or is delivering advanced long-range cruise missiles, which are already making an important difference on the battlefield. And then the last days, we had the announcement that several allies are going to start training of Ukrainian pilots. Of course, that is only meaningful because at some stage then we have the option to also deliver planes. But when that will happen and how and so on, that remains to be decided. I think it's the wise thing to do is to do this stepwise and to start the training, and then depending on how the war evolves and how the situation on the ground evolves, then final decisions will be made on the issue of delivering planes. Let me add one more thing on the planes, that this is also relevant and it demonstrates the long-term commitment, because when the war ends, it is important to ensure that Ukraine has the capabilities, the military strength, to deter against further aggression. We need to prevent the history from repeating itself. We need to prevent President Putin from being able to continue to chip away at European security. And then to strengthen the Ukrainian armed forces, including their air forces, will be an important part of that. And then fourth generation NATO standard aircraft can be a part of that. So when this will happen, it's too early to say, but even if it happens after the war, of course it happens in the war, it will help them in their war efforts now. If it happens later, depending of course on when the war ends, it will be useful regardless.
Thank you very much. Regarding your question, I am absolutely confident that Sweden will become the 32nd NATO member state. And the open question is exactly when that final decision or the ratification will occur. But this, I don't feel that this in any way would hamper or is hampering NATO's plans. NATO is making plans. NATO knows that Sweden will be a member, and I'm confident that this will happen.
Channel 24, Ukraine.
Polish President Andrzej Duda said that NATO is considering signing a security guarantee for Ukraine based on Israel model during the Vilnius summit. Could you comment on this?
Well, when the war ends, we need to find ways to ensure that history doesn't repeat itself, because we all know that this war didn't start in February last year. It started actually in 2014. When Russia illegally annexed Crimea, and then some few months later went into eastern Donbass, and then the full-fledged invasion last year. And this is also part of a broader pattern where we see how Russia has been responsible for aggressive actions against other neighbors, including Georgia in 2008. So wars are by nature unpredictable. No one can tell today when and how this war ends. But what is important is that when it ends, that we ensure that it stops and it's not only a pause before a new aggressive war by Russia against Ukraine. And therefore, there is the need to strengthen Ukraine's own deterrence and defense. And of course, different capabilities, some of them we already discussed, can be part of that. Long-term commitment, and also what NATO does when it comes to helping the transition from Soviet era to NATO era, to NATO standards and doctrines, can be part of strengthening Ukraine's ability to defend themselves. I also expect at the Vilnius summit that allies will agree a multi-year package to enable this transition and full interoperability with NATO, which will then help to provide the security Ukraine needs to prevent further aggression. And for instance, the Kiev Security Compact is focusing very much on how to build Ukraine's own defense and security. So that's part of that. Then, in addition to what we do to support Ukrainians, enabling them to defend themselves, there will also be a discussion about frameworks for Ukraine. I think it's a bit early to security frameworks for Ukraine. It's too early to conclude. Of course, these issues will be discussed at the summit, but I don't expect any final conclusions in the midst of a war.
Thank you very much. This concludes this press conference. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. All the best.